Hey, everyone. What's going on? Welcome to Ultraviolet Thoughts. My name is Jess, and I'm going to try to share some wisdom with you today. So, all right. So, I don't know if anybody else is going through the same thing right now, but I'm kind of going through an identity crisis. Or like an ego death, or however you want to call it. But I know a lot of you are also going through it because I have a lot of friends going through it. And I have this weird feeling a lot of the times that if more than like five people I know are going through something, there's chances are that it's kind of like a mass experience that many people are having. I would like to think that globally as people we're more alike than we're different, and I'd like to think that things hit us in waves. So maybe we'll all go through some sort of like mass awakening together, or maybe everybody becomes conscious about the environment at the same time, or maybe everybody starts to become more introspective at the same time. And I have no evidence to back that up. I'm sure somebody has studied such a phenomenon before. I was on the phone with my friend the other day, and we were talking about how our like career goals have changed, and how we don't want to be identified with our careers. So my friend is a plus size blogger, and she was telling me that she feels as if she shouldn't have to identify with being a plus size woman just to get her point across. And what I mean by that is that she said that she wants to write about other things besides just being plus sized. Like, why does she have to only tell people about her experience as a plus sized woman? Why can't she write about food or Disneyland or whatever else, metaphysics, whatever else she wants to write about? And I started thinking about my own journey and my relationship with my identity, because my identity has changed so many times. I mean, in the past 2 years, I feel like I've been 15 different people. And I'd like to think that we're multidimensional. And what I mean by that is we have so many moving parts to ourselves, to our inner working, to our physical bodies, to our day-to-day lives. You'll wake up in the morning thinking one thing and you end your day thinking the other. We're not just supposed to be fit into these boxes or these labels and wear these labels all the time. It's dangerous, because when we label ourselves, we're limiting ourselves. And there's this Twitter account I follow. It's called @AncientWisdom. And they said something the other day that was really prominent. They said, when going through the process of self-discovery, do not try to fit yourself into one box. You are more than that. You are a limitless and multidimensional being. It's time to stop letting doubts take over. Face your potential. So what I think that Twitter user was talking about is when we label ourselves, we become obsessed with our identities. So we use the label to identify ourselves. And then the ego loves identifying itself with things and limiting you by your identity. So then we adopt that identity and we make it who we are. And this is something that I've been thinking about a lot recently. And one of my friends told me to listen to Oprah's like Super Soul Monday podcast. And ironically enough, she just made a whole series with Eckhart Tolle, who is a spiritual teacher, and he's the author of The Power of Now and A New Earth. And the whole series is about your ego, killing your ego or letting your ego die, and the spiritual awakening process, and a lot of things. They talk about a lot of things in the series. I think you should check it out if you can. But one thing they talk about is identity. And it was really weird because I'm sitting here having this little identity crisis, and I'm driving home from a new job, and I turn on the radio or my podcast, and basically what Eckhart Tolle was saying is that in order to wake up to the reality, which is your life, and to be in the now, you have to ditch all the identities that you've given yourself. And Oprah was laughing and she said, okay, well, how am I supposed to introduce myself to people? And what am I supposed to identify with if I'm not identifying with the things I have or the job I have or my past history or memories I have or traumas I have, successes I have, yada, yada, yada. And what Tolle says is that you don't have to identify with anything. Like there's just no need to, because it's not important. And you just have to ask yourself, he suggested a meditative state, but who am I? And so there's a lot to unpack there, but I think the first thing we can do to ditch our identities is ditch our memories or our stories. I'm somebody who is totally guilty of strongly identifying with my story. I think a lot of people do. I think we do it as a defense mechanism. So for example, when I'm trying to relate to somebody, say somebody comes to me for advice on a past relationship or a relationship that they're having relationship struggles. 9 times out of 10, when I'm giving them advice, I'll bring up my relationship struggles that I've had. And I don't realize I'm doing it, but it's because I identify so strongly with my story that I feel like to give the best advice to that person, I have to share my story. And I think a lot of us do it just in our day-to-day lives. When you meet somebody for the first time, it's kind of like a job interview, right? So they'll ask you, what do you do for a living? Where do you live? Where are you from? Whatever other questions they might ask. And so obviously, if you're good at having a conversation, you will start providing that information. And all of a sudden, they're building a story about who you are in their head. And they're identifying you with the things that you've shared. And you probably have a certain list of things that you identify with that you share in those moments. You have an elevator pitch or a story that you tell people. I'm from upstate New York and I moved to California a year ago. And I used to want to be a journalist, but now I want to be a yoga instructor. And this is my story, right? Or somebody could be an entrepreneur. Somebody could be really, could really strongly identify with their job or career or their passions. And what Tolle and Oprah and myself would all say is that you don't have to forget that any of those things happened, but constantly identifying with your story and your past and your material possessions or job title or whatever it is that you're identifying with in the present moment hinder you or keep you from evolving into a multidimensional being that you are. And not only that, but then they also prevent you from seeing the beauty in the present moment. And seeing that the beauty of the present moment, the beauty of life, and the pursuit of happiness, or whatever, the beauty of the present moment is that you shouldn't have to identify with things, because there's no need to. Everything is beautiful. Why can't you be everything? You are everything. So one of my favorite philosophers, Alan Watts, he wrote this book. He wrote a few books, but one of the books he wrote is called Out of Your Mind: The Trickster's Interdependence and the Cosmic Game of Hide and Seek. And actually, speaking about identity, I kind of have a funny story about how I got this book. But I think that's a story for another time. So anyways, let me go back. On page 8, Watts says, "You are not something separate from nature. You are an aspect or a symptom of nature. You, as a human being, grow out of this physical universe in exactly the same way that an apple grows out of an apple tree. A tree that grows apples is a tree with apples, just as a universe in which human beings appear is a universe of human beings. The existence of people is symptomatic of the kind of universe we live in, but under the influence of our two great myths, the ceramic and fully automatic models of the universe, we feel that we do not belong in the world. In popular speech, we say, I came into the world. But We didn't. We came out of the world. Most people have the sensation that there are something that exists in a bag of skin. We feel we are consciousness looking at this thing. And then we look at others who resemble us and consider them as people as long as they have similar skin color or religion or what have you. Note that when we decide to destroy a particular set of people, we always define them as unpeople, not exactly human. So we call them monkeys or monsters or machines, but definitely not people. Whatever hostility we carry toward the others and the external world comes from this superstition, this myth, an absolutely unfounded theory that we're something that only exists inside our own skin. Okay, whoa. So there's a lot going on there. But there are some really important things that Watts talks about. And something that I've seen in my own life is the danger of identity is that it's divisive. And this plays into the concept of universal oneness and interconnectedness and prajnaparamita. All of those concepts and ideologies would argue that we're all connected. We are not different from one another. If you are a living thing on planet Earth, you are connected to every living thing on planet Earth. And some people would even argue that you're also connected to the consciousness of all those people on the Earth and the energy frequencies and energy forces, energetical forces around you and externally transcending state lines, boundaries, Earth's sphere, and what have you. So I want to kind of make a statement. And my statement that I would make is that we shouldn't identify ourselves, because when we identify ourselves, we are just saying that we're different from somebody else. And that's what Watts is talking about when he's saying that we will identify ourselves with the people that share the views that we do or that we think fit into the identity that we do. And then most of the times we'll adopt an us versus them or us versus the other mentality and villainize the people who identify with the opposite ideology that we do. When in reality, we are multidimensional beings, like I said before, and there's really no need to identify ourselves with things. The need is that in modern day society, we ask people to identify themselves. So maybe the problem is that we need to stop asking people to identify themselves and instead get to know people, you know, and realize that people change. We are always changing, we're always evolving, we're always growing, and we're not going to fit into these squares, these boxes of yes or no questions on a survey or standardized tests. We're a lot more than that, and I feel like once we stop trying to identify ourselves with things, we actually enjoy the things that we enjoy so much more because we don't feel like we can't do them. So, for example, me making this podcast, if I was really focused on my identity, which I have been in the past, I would be thinking, my mind would be playing a lot of games with me. Like, Jess, why are you making a spirituality podcast? Are you even really that spiritual? Jess, how are you going to get a job as a reporter if people think you're a hippie? Jess, like, what is the random person in your math class going to think if they open your podcast? And do you want to be branded as somebody who has a podcast? And what does that brand look like? And how are you going to brand yourself as X if you're really Y? And all of these weird thought coverings that we give ourselves. All of these roadblocks that we make for ourselves to do things, a lot of them greatly relate to our concept of our own identities and other people's identities and our ego. And I think we shouldn't be so harsh on ourselves for having those identities. I think it's human nature to, like I said earlier, it's kind of like a survival mechanism in 2019. And the human brain loves to make connections. Studies have shown that. We're always looking to connect the dots, solve puzzles, figure out what we're going to eat as cavemen, and what flowers are poisonous and what flowers aren't, and who's safe to be around and who's not. And those are all great, but I think what we can do is try to not identify ourselves with our thoughts, the things we have, our professions. And I think especially tracking back to identifying with our thoughts, that's really dangerous because thoughts are just thoughts. They're not even realities. So if you identify with your thoughts, you're literally not physically living at all. You're just always consumed with hypothetical situations or situations from the past or apprehension about the future. So much so that you can't even do the things that would provide you the proper outcome or the desired outcome in the present moment because you're just thinking about the outcome before it even comes. And Watts talks about it later on in his book, if you go to page 65, if you have the book or whatever. And he says that the image we carry about ourselves is extremely inaccurate and incomplete. My image of me is not at all your image of me. And my image of you is not all your image of you. Furthermore, my image of me leaves out all the manner of information regarding my nervous system, circulation, metabolism, and all sorts of subtle relationships, the surrounding human and the non-human universe. In other words, the image I have for myself, my ego, is a character. I arrived at this image mainly through my interaction with other people who told me who I was in one way or the other, either directly or indirectly. And I play that picture of myself out into the world, and the world plays it back. And from early on, we're told that this picture, this image, must be consistent. For a lot of people, the quest for identity means searching for an acceptable image. What role am I supposed to play? What am I supposed to do in life? Those questions are important, but they are extraordinarily misleading unless they're backed up by deeper matters. He continues when he says, you might protest and say that you don't think of yourself as just an image. You might say that you feel more real than that, that you are the center of something. Well, let's take a look. Who are you in terms of your body? If you look at yourself, all you can see are your feet and legs and belly and arms and hands and some vague part of your nose if you close one eye. And you assume you have a head because everyone has a head. Or you looked in the mirror and the mirror reflected your head back to you. You really never really see your head, just as you never really see your back. So, naturally, you put your ego in that unseen part of your body, because that seems to be where it all comes from, and you can feel it. But what is it that you feel? If I see clearly, if my eyes are in functioning order, my eyes aren't conscious of themselves. I mean, unless I see spots or detect some kind of deficiency in vision, I don't notice that I'm seeing. So if my ego is working properly, why should I be aware of it as something sort of there? That's just a nuisance. Something in the way. Especially since the ego is awfully difficult to take care of. So that can't be what we feel. What we feel is a kind of chronic, habitual sense of muscular strain. Okay. So what I would say is I would say that chronic muscular strain that we feel is our ego wrestling with our reality to form identities, to communicate to other people, to identify with them and make connections, and somehow figure out what role we're supposed to play or what it is we're supposed to do in life and live happily ever after. Does that happen when we do that? No. If anything, when we identify with things so strongly, we don't even allow what our actual life purpose is to come into play. If I was obsessed with my identity that I formed as a young girl, that I was going to be a doctor and I was going to go to med school and run half marathons all the time, I wouldn't have switched my major to journalism. And if I didn't switch my major to journalism in school, I wouldn't have moved to California. And if I didn't move to California, I wouldn't have started on my own little spiritual journey that I'm still on and decided that I thought that my life purpose might be a lot different and it might be multidimensional. And I wouldn't have meditated on the concept of doing something like helping people with yogic practice or creating a podcast or writing for a spiritual entity or reading philosophy books, yada, yada, yada. So, and that being said, I don't have to identify with this kind of person that I'm crafting either. So I might be vegan. I might eat a vegan diet, but I don't call myself vegan. I say I'm plant-based, which I shouldn't even technically really do. Buddhist philosophy says we call ourselves vegan we eat a vegan diet without calling ourselves vegan. Because when we put that label on something, you're automatically making so many assumptions that one lifestyle is bad and one lifestyle is good. And so, yeah, I guess what the medicine that I would prescribe to anybody who's still listening to this podcast is you should go meditate, and you don't have to go to some big rainforest in the jungle and have this, you know, transcend dimensions. But just sit down and give yourself 10 minutes, 10, 11 minutes at least, if not like an hour, and ask yourself, who am I? Or something I like to do is ask the universe, this is pretty hippie, but I like to say, what are you trying to tell me? There's this bhakti yogi that I met as part of yoga teacher training, and she says, how can I serve others today? So just ask an open-ended question to whatever religious deity you pray to, or the universe, or this, I don't know, energy, if you don't believe in anything. Or just ask yourself, hey, what's going on? What's up? What do you want to do? Like, who are you without all this BS that everybody has labeled you to be, or that you label yourself to be? Who really are you? What do you like? And don't judge yourself for what comes up. And maybe you should journal after and just write down everything. And don't feel like you have to categorize things, and don't feel like you can't like to drink beer if you're vegan, or don't think that you can't meditate if you're into bodybuilding, or whatever it is that you like you can't listen to screamo music and like long walks on the beach. I don't know, like whatever it is you like, just write it down, like let it all flow out of you, and then take a look at it and realize that you are a multidimensional being, and that's what makes you beautiful. You are not the things that you identify with. If anything, identify with the fact that you have no identity, you know? And I think that that's our first step to living a more authentic life that we find fulfillment in, that gives us the energy and power and momentum to help serve others and the world around us, and realize that we are connected. And by realizing that we're connected, we're building the foundation for a more passionate, compassionate, and understanding world that serves itself and is more self-sufficient and able to sustain itself. It builds a society that's able to sustain itself for longer periods of time, where people are actually enjoying the life that they're living. And, you know, I would place money. I would actually make a bet that if people were more connected and people ditched their identities and their egos, that we wouldn't have as many conflicts that we have today, especially over like state borders and religion and race and divisive ideologies. And am I saying that you're supposed to get rid of anything you ever identified with? No. But just try to think about why you identify yourself with the things you do, and if it's really helping you, look at the bigger picture of life and live a happier life. Chances are it's not, but if it is, I'm willing to have a conversation about it. But yeah, so that's pretty much it. When you ditch the identity. You realize the beauty of what is. At least that's something I've learned. So, anyways, thank you for listening. This is Ultraviolet Thoughts. If you have any questions or comments or anything, hit me up on Instagram. My handle is at Ultraviolet Indigo Soul. And I hope you have a great rest of your week, day, month, year, life. All right? Be well. Thank you.